So, in preparation for today, there shall be a little bit more preparation, and that's in prayer. So if we can bow our heads and close our eyes, let's open up with the word of prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit presence in this place, God. We thank you for already moving. The waters are already stirred in worship, God. And so we thank you that we want to go deeper, Father. That the preaching isn't a time where things settle down, Lord, but that the preaching is a time where transformation happens, God. I thank you that worship already set the atmosphere, Father, for you to move. And we say, Jesus, that we are ready, God. We are ready for the amazing, awesome, fulfilling life that you have for us, God. That today we would make the decision, God, that nothing else matters but Christ himself. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So this keeps coming into my head, so I'm going to do it. But raise your hand if you have a headache right now. Oh, okay. You know what? Raise your hand. Stand up if you have a headache. Just stand up. God's going to heal you guys right now. Okay, I feel like I saw more hands. It's okay. I'm not going to force you guys. All right. You know what? Hit the pad. Let's hear the Holy Spirit right now. Hey, those around someone that's standing, just stretch your hands out towards them. If you're close enough, just put your hand on their shoulder or on their head. Please, shoulder or head, nowhere else. Don't be weird. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be you guys. It's going to be Jesus, all right? You guys ready? So repeat after me. Say, Father in heaven, I thank you for the person that my hand is on, that right now, Jesus, they are completely whole, completely healed. Headache be gone right now in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. All right, so those of you who are standing, raise your hand if it went away. Sweet. All right, you guys can sit down. All right, let's go again. All right, everyone, stretch your hands up. So Evan. Oh, man. Actually, no. Bring your hands back. Evan, God wants to tell you right now that you're not destined to live in the shadows, and you're not destined to live in the shadow of other people. And you might be feeling or thinking that you see people and the position where they're at, and you're thinking, man, like I feel like I should have been in that place, and Satan even comes with things in your past to distract you from moving forward. I just hear God saying, stop it. Just like Paul says, we forget the things behind and we press forward. And so I hear God saying that in your heart, you know a lot in your head, and you have good head knowledge of the word of God, but in your heart, press forward and press in. And his destiny for you, it's not, right now it doesn't make sense in what you see, but in the spirit it makes a whole lot of sense, because it's the Lord that has chosen your days, and it's the Lord that caused you. Listen to me, God is the one who brought you into this earth, not your parents. This is for everyone too. You're not a mistake and you weren't an accident. But it was God's will for you to be born for such a time as this. And it's in his presence that you'll find your purpose. And so stop looking at others to see where they're at in comparison to you, because you have a special calling on your life. We all see it. We see it in your smile. And we see it in your eyes, dude. So stretch your hands out towards Evan right now. Jesus, we thank you for healing of his, not just his mind, Father, but even his heart. Any hurts that he might have, Father, even hurts that he might not know they're there, Father, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to just come in right now, Father, and completely, complete sozo right now over his body. Sozo over his body. Complete healing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. How do you feel? Good? Thumbs up. All right. You can sit down. So, We can cut the pad. Thank you, though. Thank you. Let's give it up for the sound guys, yeah? Yeah. Oh, pistachio. Oh, I thought they were coming for me. I was like, oh, did I go too far? Anyways. Okay, so you guys want to hear a funny story? I have a lot of scriptures and a lot of stories. Is that okay? So I don't want to tell first, but I just feel led for this one. So I was at a few weeks ago, I was trying to pray for this guy, and he wouldn't let me. it was really funny because I was at a gas station and I was meeting up some friends at the taco truck. Yeah. But they were lagging, as friends do sometimes. And so I was like, what do I do? I was like, oh, I'm going to get some gas. So I go inside and there's a guy and, you know, big guy with the beard. Looks pretty friendly, right? So I'm in there, I don't know what I was getting. I think I was getting a Pop-Tart. Knowing me, I was getting a Pop-Tart. I love Pop-Tarts, by the way. And so I went in, and I'm paying for my stuff, and there's people in there, so, and I had this thought of, like, oh, you should pray for them, and I'm like, nah, that's not God, that's just, you know, I just know so much of the Bible that, you know, it just comes to my mind randomly. That's dumb, guys, that's dumb. Like, there's a reason why God asks you to implant the Word of God into your heart, because then the Lord can bring it out whenever He wills to. So the times where the times where like, oh man, I should pray for that person. It's not you guys. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. You guys okay? Listen, I'm just gonna tell you guys. Today I'm not trying to spiritually hit you. I'm not trying to just motivate you to like love the Lord. All I'm gonna do is I'm gonna say this is what Jesus expects of our life. And do we meet that expectation? And it's not an expectation because, you know, we had to perform for Him or because we had to act right for Him, but it's all rooted and grounded, we'll see, in love. And so today I just want to challenge you guys to ask yourselves, do I love Jesus and what does that look like in my life? The past few weeks I've just been so frustrated with not seeing the power of God move in my life. And it's not because I want the power of God. It's not because I want to be somebody. It's because He's somebody and people need to know about Him. Amen? Is this okay, guys? So I'm outside. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm dumb because I know I got to love people. So I go back inside, and I'm like, hey, brother. Someone say duh. Because I go up to him, and I'm praying for my stuff. Like, hey, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. He was, like, sneezing. I'm like, you okay? He's like, yeah, I just feel like I'm coming down with something, you know. For those of you who don't know, that's a green light to pray for someone, okay? And so I go up to him. It was really funny. It started to frustrate me, but at the end of the day, I was like, you know, whatever. I went up to him. I was like, hey, man, I heard you weren't feeling. I was like, yeah, oh, this. And I'm like, hey, look, let me pray for you. He's like, come on, dude. Nah, you're good. I was like, no, really, let me pray for you. He's like, I'm good, man. He's like, no, you have to. I was like, no, like, let me pray for you. He's like, no, like, it's cool, man. I was like, no, really, dude, I want to. And so I put my hand out, right? He puts his hand up. Come on, participation. Right? And I'm like, come on. And I'm grabbing his hand because I want to pray, right? And he just goes, I'm good. And he just... Yeah, he just shakes my hand. I was like, no, dude, let me pray for you. He's like, I'm good. I believe in God. He's like, no, dude, God's a healer. Like, let me pray for you. Slip my hand out again. He's like, no. And this time, I'm not letting go. And he just keeps shaking. I'm like, come on. I'm like, dude, let me pray for you. He's like, no, I'm good. And it's just, like, weird. Or I'm like, no, like, I need to pray. I didn't do that. But I was like, no. I said something that I've never said before. I was like, no, let me pray. He's like, no, I'm good. You don't have to. You know, it's all right. You don't have to. I was like, no, dude, I want to. I'm like, dude, Jesus lives inside of me. Let me pray for you. And he's like, no, I'm good. And then he just wouldn't. He's like, no. Finally, he's like, I don't want you to pray for me, man. He started a big smile. And so I just started prophesying over him. I'm like, I'm not going to leave without loving this guy. And so I just spoke a word. I forgot what I said, but I said, actually, I know what I said. I'm not going to tell you guys that, but I prophesied over him. He's like, thanks, man. He's like, I know, man. He's like, I know God's trying to reach me. Thanks. And then we shook hands one more time, and I walked out. But it was just funny. Now, someone could look at that and be like, oh, that sucks. You weren't able to pray for him. You weren't able to, like, you know, for him to be healed. And turn to your neighbor and say, that's not the point. Let's go to Romans. No, we won't go to Romans. Not yet. Actually, yeah, we'll go to Romans. Excuse me. Romans chapter 13, we'll read verses 8-14. Sorry. Before service, I literally, like, swallowed a Pop-Tart and some water. So it's working in there. Check this out. Owe no one anything except to love one another. You guys didn't hear me. Sorry, you guys didn't hear the scriptures. Owe no one anything except to love one another. I read this a couple of days ago, and I was like, oh, man. I don't owe people frustration. I don't owe people my attitude. I don't owe people my opinion. I don't owe people my good intentions. All I owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Amen. Oh, man. I'm going to say that one time. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Oh, I got to church today, and I was trying to figure out the time. Doesn't matter. I got here, and actually, no, it doesn't matter, because we have a meeting at 2:30 every Wednesday. I got here, and I'm, like, walking, and I see a guy walking on the street, right? And I have the thought again. Guess what the thought was? Go pray for him. Go pray for him. And I was like, no, I have a meeting. I'm good, right? It's so dumb, like, how we try to talk ourselves into not doing what God wants us to do. There's another word for that. It's called lukewarm Christianity. Because, you know, I come to church, you know, I'm a youth leader, I play on the worship band, but I'm not going to go owe someone what I owe them. I owe them, like, I'm indebted to love them. Like, it's not when it's convenient. It's not when you feel like it. It's like, no, like, you owe this person. Like, have you ever owed someone a lot of money? Like, do you feel the pressure of that? Of like, man, like, I owe this person like $2 because they bought me a Pop-Tart the other day. You gotta pay him back. anyways. So I got here. Oh, I love Jesus because Jesus loves creating opportunity for us. I'm telling you, he loves creating opportunity. So I'm walking, right? And so the street's this way, the grass is that way, and I'm walking, I'm having this dumb internal struggle of should I love this guy or not? That's at the end of the day. And, oh, I have another story, by the way. After. So I'm walking, and then John he's on the grass, and I think he's just picking up trash. He's like, hey, Joel. And I'm like, hey, John. And I said, hey, John. This guy turns around. This guy's over here on Sheree. He turns around, and he's just staring at me, and I look at him, and I keep walking. He's like, you say something? And I was like, yeah, actually, I did. I went over to him, and I was like, hey. He's like, hey. I was like, how you doing? He's like, oh, good. And then when I got up to him, I noticed he had a cast on his wrist. Oh, hey, Pastor Paul. I was like, I didn't hear that voice earlier. I love you, sir. And I appreciate you. I get up to him, and he has a cast on his wrist. And he's like, yeah, I was like, hey, what happened to your wrist? And he's like, oh, like, I fell on it, and it broke. I'm like, hey, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. So he's like, okay. And so he sticks out his wrist. I'm like, I'm not going to put too much pressure, I promise. I was like, is it hurting? He's like, yeah, it's in pain. So like, let me pray for it. So I put my hands on his, sorry, I know you were doing something. I put my hands on his wrist. Same thing we did with the headaches. Raise your hand if the headache went away. Raise your hand if your headache went away. Cool. God's real, guys.
Yeah.
So I put my hand on the wrist, and same thing. I was like, in Jesus' name, bones be healed, muscles be healed, everything just be healed. He's like, oh, thank you. He's about to walk away. I was like, stop. Hold on. Move your wrist. Is it good? Like, do something you couldn't do. And he's like, he starts shaking his wrist. And he's like, the pain's gone. I was like, God healed you. He's like, wow. He's like, man, you got the power. And I'm like, no, sir, Jesus lives inside of me. Invite him to church. Turns out he goes to church, which is questionable. I'm not saying he's not going to a good church. I'm just saying. This guy's walking around with pain. And God expects us to do something about it. Right? Do you guys know that? Here, check this out. So Jesus walks around, and he is the answer to people's prayers. Yeah. And then Jesus leaves the earth, gives us the Holy Spirit, and tells us, in a nutshell, tells us, now you go be that answer to people's prayers. We're supposed to be does Jesus answer prayers? Does Jesus live inside of us? Well, don't say yes until you know for sure, because Jesus living in you looks like something, guys. I know I'm pressing you guys, but I don't want Sozo Youth to fail in telling you what real Christianity is. Because it's not coming to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and you have fulfilled what God wants you to do. And yes, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I lift up my hands. I say amen to that. guys, that's not Christianity. That's not. Yeah, exactly. That's religion, guys. We're no different than the religions of the world if we're not living differently outside of these four walls. Amen? It's warm in here. Anybody else warm? Whew. Is this cool? I'm just called to love people, guys. Yeah. We're all just called to love. And I cannot tell you how much I'm enjoying walking in this realization that Jesus lives inside of me. A couple weeks ago, I went to go visit Granny and our pastors at the hospital when they were still there. And your hat, sir. And I got there, and there's this guy, and he's sitting, and I'm just walking. And look at him. He looks at me. So I look away. And look back at him. He's still looking at me. I'm like, okay. So I didn't like avoid him. I was like, I'm going to walk by him, and we'll see what happens. And he's like, hey, sir. I was like, what's up, man? He's like, I want to invite you to my church. I'm not laughing at him. I'm starting to find this love, and it's not me, guys. It's not me. Everyone say it's not Pastor Joel.
It's not Pastor Joel.
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
The more I start to love people, the more I realize like how natural it is for me to let God move through me. Does that make sense? It's like when you practice anything, really. Like, at first it might be uncomfortable, but as soon as you get the hang of it, it's like who you are, because that is who you were destined to be. And so this guy, so he's like, I want to invite you to my church. And I was like, oh, cool. And I read, and he's like, I have a question for you, man. I'm like, sure. He's like, if you die tonight, do you know where you're going? I was like, I'm going to heaven, sir. He's like, well, how do you know? I was like, because Jesus lives inside of me. He's like, well, how do you know that? And I started preaching to him the gospel. I just started sharing the love of God with him. He invited me to his church. Now I'm sharing the love of God. I was like, listen, dude, like, and I started telling him about Jesus and how he works inside of me, how no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what goes on in my life, he is my constant, he is my rock, he is my fortress, and I don't care about anything because Jesus lives inside of me, and the finished work of the cross, that is enough for me to be happy, content, and full of joy. And I'm like, and so I told him, sir, like, let me pray for you. And he's like, the whole time he's sitting down, while I'm talking, he just like stood up, and he was just like, and he was like, yes, sir, like, let me pray for you. He's like, please, sir. And then I just prayed for him, and he was like so thankful. He gave me a big hug. He gave me a hug. He was so happy, and I'm happy because I just got to share the gospel. Listen, I don't know what church he goes to. I'm just saying I gave to him the gospel, and there was a noticeable change in his demeanor. That needs to be all of us, guys. Is it okay that I'm using myself as an example? Listen, guys, I'm not saying these things to puff myself up. I'm just saying, whoa, hey, bro, Chacho, let me get that scripture. Thank you, sir. For the command.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna get you on Friday, okay? Owe no one anything. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Check this out. Well, actually, so this is Paul talking, right? He says, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Everyone say fulfilled the law. This is an amazing point. So let's go to that's actually not in here. We're not in here. It's not notes. Yeah, we're going to dig this deeper. So go to John chapter 13, verse 34. This is Jesus talking. Turn to your neighbor and say, well, you should listen to Jesus. Turn to your other neighbor and whisper, he knows better. He knows better. He knows better. Whisper, he knows better. I'm sorry. Where is... Thank you. Sorry, I got to find the scripture real quick. So check this out. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Come on. That you love one another as I have loved you. I'm not going to spend too much time in the scripture because there's another one that we're going to go to real quick. But just to give some context. Just to give some context. Just to get some context here, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Show you the...
We're good?
I'm going to show you the way Jesus loves us. Because okay? This is what he said. He said, love one another, as I, Jesus speaking, have loved you. And then 1 John, the Apostle John says this, dear friends, let us love one another. It's amazing how many times this phrase comes up for us to love one another. Wow. Pay attention when God repeats himself over and over and over again. Because he knows. He knows. We were talking yesterday and I've been listening to like these like just great preachers on like this subject. And one of them said, you can't love someone until you're free from them. You cannot love someone until you're free from them. As in like when you get to a point where you don't care what they think about you, or you don't care what they would say about you, then you can truly love them because the God love is unconditional. And if I'm going to love someone conditional on them liking me or love someone conditional on them being nice to me, that's not real love. Yeah. Or if I'm loving someone on the condition that they say I love you back, it's conditional. I'm not loving you for you. I'm loving you for me because you give me value. I'm not loving you like God loves. I'm loving you because you have something you're going to give back. And Jesus gave us everything despite many people not giving anything back to them. It's an unconditional love. So check this out. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Ooh, turn to your neighbor and say, knows God. I think the Holy Spirit's awesome because past few weeks, I've been wrestling with this, not so much lately, because because God's helped me to walk it out. But I'm going through the book of Matthew, and I'm seeing how many times, in one day, Jesus is healing people. In one chapter, the lame man gets healed, Peter's mother-in-law gets healed, blind eyes are open. It's just like in one like day, maybe in one afternoon, I don't know. But it's his life, though, and I know that I'm called to walk like him. And so when I read the Bible and I see things that Jesus did and I'm not walking in, there's an issue, not with Jesus, but with me. And the reason I'm sharing this with you guys is because there's a life that God's called us to live. And I'm just not okay with us being lukewarm Christians. That reason and convince ourselves and use logic and excuses to not do what God wants us to do.
Yeah, say that.
You guys okay? Bless you, sir. Broke the ice. Last night I kind of did a spontaneous not funeral, but it was interesting. That'd be fun. I know. Just hear me out. So yesterday morning, I'm driving, and on Workman Mill, there's like this like pretty like gnarly curve, all right? And there's like trees lining up, you know, along the curb. And I've seen cars like hit trees there. Like I drove by, I was like, wow, like there's a Mercedes in the tree. Not in the tree, but you know, the tree's in the Mercedes, I should say. And like, oh man, that's a bummer. But because people tend to go really fast coming down. And then they hit that curve, or they didn't hit the curve, but they turned on that curve. And so yesterday morning, I'm driving, and behind one of the trees, you saw, like, flowers and candles. You saw it, too? Why were you there? Not the point. And say hi. And so candles, flowers, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, as you can get, someone probably, you know, died right there. So last night, I'm driving home, and as I'm... It was funny. Not that, but it was, well, I'll tell you why it's funny. So I'm driving by, and when I drive by, there's four guys just, like, surrounding, like, the tree, and I drive by, and the first scripture we went over, oh, no man, nothing, except who?
Love.
Except who?
Love.
And so I drove by, and God said, why don't you go love them? And I'm like, I'm tired, and I got to study for this message. I get home, and I'm like, I gotta go back. I cannot preach about something I'm not gonna walk in. I just can't. Like, you know, that's dumb. So I drive back. Here's the thing. It's the road is four lanes, two going that way, two going this way, right? So I'm going back, and I need to, and there, I'm driving back, and they're on my right side, and there's no parking, like it's you know, you can go like 50 miles an hour on there. So it's literally just like two lanes and like the grass and trees, right? So I need to park on the other side of the street. So I go and like I have to stop next to them, put my signal on because I'm going to turn into like this random parking lot. It's an industrial area, so it's not like, you know, oh yeah, he probably lives there. It's like, no, it's 8:30 at night. Everyone's home. It's weird. So I'm like, I put my blinkers. I'm waiting to turn. I look, and all four of them are just staring at my car. And they're not like, you know, they're not the friendliest looking people, you know. So, you know, like one was wearing like uniform, but the rest of them were like, you know, forgive my language, but they're like, they're homeboys, right? So I'm a little bit scared. Because it's not like, it's like 8:30 at night, it's dark everywhere, and it's, you know, it's not like, and I have no idea, I don't know if they're like, they're pretty sad, right? I don't know how they're going to feel with some guy walking up to them, you know? But, you know, I'm just going to follow Jesus. I told Jesus, like, hey, if I die, I'm going to see you soon, sir. So I turn, right, and I go into the parking lot, right? And I'm, like, in my car, and there's bushes in front of me, like, you know, yay, hi. And so I get out of my car, and, like, I stand up, and, like, they're looking at me. That's like, walk around the bushes. And then I get to the street, and I can't just cross the street. You got to look both ways, right? I look both ways, and this car's coming, so now I got to stand across the street. And they're just staring at me with, like, smoking, whatever they're smoking, drinking beer, just looking at me, and I'm just like, Jesus, you better be, like, here, because this is already really weird and awkward. And, like, it's a four-lane highway of cars going, so I run to them. And I get there. Hi. I'm kidding. I actually have no idea how I stand it, but I was like, hey guys, like hey, like how you guys, like you guys all right? And like, yeah, we're just here. I was like, oh, like what happened? And so like, their friend, here's, everyone say, nah, don't say it. I'm just telling you guys. There's a saying we say here at the church, and it's not something we just say, guys. It's a biblical truth. Good choices, good life. Bad choices, bad life. So their friend at 24 years old was drinking and driving. He's going home, he hits a tree, he dies. Now his friends, I'm like, oh, how'd you guys know? Like, oh, we were all child, like we knew each other since kindergarten, we grew up together, you know, all of us are 24, 25 years old, and you know, and we lost our friends. I was like, oh man, I'm so sorry to hear that. Like 24 years old, yeah. And I just started sharing the gospel with them. I was like, hey guys, like, I know you guys are sad. And it sucks a lot. But I just drove by and God told me to come here and tell you guys that, you know, like, I just want to give you guys an opportunity to just kind of learn from this. You know, like how, and I was like, I made sure I wasn't talking to them. But I was trying to say it in a way, kind of like right now, it's like where like I'm not just talking to you guys, like I'm talking to myself too. And so I was saying, like, you know. And I told my guys, like, in the scope of time, like, we aren't here for that long. So what does our life mean, and what are we going to make it mean, and what are we going to do with our life? Like, if your friend here, what was his name? His name was Ruben. If your friend Ruben was here right now, you know, would he be telling you to just stay sad and do, or would he tell you, hey, make the most of your life, you know, be somebody? They're like, yeah, you're right. So next to the guy's like, Jesus lives inside of me, and he fulfills my life. And I told him, like, hey, like, I lost my mom to cancer this year. I watched her die for 2 weeks, and yet Jesus was still the constant. I'm still in love with them. I'm still going to choose to love people. And I came here because Jesus loves you guys. And two of them started crying. Two of them, I think, were really uncomfortable that I was there. It's all right. But one guy for sure really received it, and that's Jesus right there. He goes after that one, right? Amen. And I just shared the gospel with them. And at the end, I was like, and then, you know, in the middle of them, I'm just talking about Jesus. I didn't drink. Don't even think that. And I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna go, but can we all pray together? Like, yeah. So we all stood in a circle, and I just prayed for peace, comfort for the family, and just for God to just move in their life. God loves homies. I'm called to love people, guys, and it's not because I'm anyone special. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I'm a youth leader. It's because I love Jesus. that window open? Oh. Jesus, we thank you that everything's okay and that you move and your Holy Spirit moves right now, Lord. Amen. Is this making sense, guys? And in the past few weeks, I've decided to like step out no matter what. You know, it's walking by faith and not by sight. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, Candace was really, really sick. You guys all knew that, right? Yeah, you posted her on social media. And we were at Marie Callender's because, you know, she loves the vegetable soup there. And so we're at Marie Callender's, I'm at Marie Callender's. So we get there, and she's sick, so she's, like, in the car, and I walk into Marie Callender's, and it's so easy for us to walk by sight, guys. It's so easy for us because I ordered the soup, right, and I'm now in the waiting. There's, you know, the waiter's there, and there's people in the waiting room. Waiting room? Yeah, I guess it's the waiting room. And I'm sitting there. It could have gone like this. I could have just been on my phone trying to distract myself. I could have been upset or worried because, you know, she's not feeling well. There's a lady, she walks by, and she's literally limping, grabbing, like, holding her ribs. And as she's walking by, I hear her telling someone else that she just got in a car crash, and she was in a lot of pain. I could have looked at that, and many of us probably could have looked at that and said, well, I prayed for Candace. She didn't get healed, so why am I going to pray again? Or I prayed for my mom in the hospital. Why would I pray again? Why we use experiences and things in the past to dictate the truth. Listen, at the end of the day, I don't know why things happen the way they happen, but it's not my job to figure it out. Yeah. It's not my job to get upset at God. It's not my job to like to reason it through. I owe no man nothing but to love them. Oh, man, talking about lukewarm Christianity. So I see her, right? So I get up, and I was like, hey, can I pray for you? It's a room full of people. It's not like, oh, I'm going to take you to the side. Can I pray for you? No, like, you got to be bold, guys. You got to be bold. You draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. And obedience is a great way to draw near. Listen, guys, Jesus isn't going like, oh, he's going to go pray for him. I'm not going. He's not doing that. Jesus leads with his presence. It's who he is, right? So I got up, and I'm like, hey, I heard you weren't feeling well. Can I pray for you? She's like, oh, that'd be great. The person she's talking to, she's like, oh, literally, I'm not joking. Oh, I'm a Christian too. I'll help you. My first thought was, but I don't want to get judgmental. There could be a million reasons why she didn't pray for her. But my first thought was like, why don't you pray for her first? But I just ignored it. I just ignored her. I was like, let me pray for you. And so I ended up praying for her 4 times, guys. And in order for me to pray 4 times in a public setting requires for me to die to my self-esteem, my reputation, how am I going to look like, what are people going to think, oh, now I look like a fool. I prayed, guys, nothing happened. It's really easy for me to feel that awkwardness and give up. Oh, I guess God didn't. No. If I believe this stuff, I got to go after it. So I pray again. I prayed for her 4 times, and this is what she said. She didn't get completely healed, which is fine. I'm just going to do what I'm called to do, right? But here's what she said. Oh, my gosh, I can walk now. Because she was limping, and she started, in front of her, she started like, everyone sees this. I think Jesus talked about that. He said, let your good works be seen among men so they can glorify your God in heaven. Amen. Is that not what he said?
Yeah.
Let your works be seen by men so that they can glorify God in heaven. That's what we're called to do, guys. Is this okay? Are you guys all right?
Yes.
Great. Wow, they're not all right. Oh, Jesus. Help them. It's okay, guys. They're good. They're good. They're okay. They're okay. Trust me. They're okay, guys. Let's bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Turn to, Oi. Shh. Can we get these windows closed? Thank you, Jesus. Huh. What's it saying? Oh, yeah. Yeah, your works need to be seen by men so they can glorify God in heaven, right? So, well, that's what I was saying. Is this making sense to everyone? Is everyone okay? So, oh my gosh. Give me 1 second. Turn to your neighbor and say, give him a few seconds. Thank you, sir. Love you too. Okay, just decide not to work. That's fine. So in all of this, I've just been, and it's been my prayer, like, God, like, if I'm going to pursue you, I need to look more like you. Yeah. I need to look more like you. I got to get born again. Because I have not been doing this right. I got comfortable in my Christianity. I thought, because, you know, I'm a youth leader. I'm doing JYC. I'm on the worship team now. I'm doing all these things. I'm good. I'm doing what a Christian. Mm-mm. No. I look at the life of Jesus and I see a life that is much, much different. All you guys, oof. I'll leave you guys with a few thoughts. Is that okay? Thank you, Jason. Oh my gosh, nothing wants to work right now. That's okay. All right, I'll just tell you. So the Pharisees, they come up to Jesus and they want to trick Jesus, but they go up to Jesus and say, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? What is the greatest commandment in the Bible?" I'm sure you guys all know this, right? What he said. But when I was praying, like God said, like, their attitude was wrong, because, you know, Jesus even said, like, you guys know the commandments, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It was funny. I was actually talking about this on Sunday, and I was, like, talking to the kids, and I was like, hey, what is, like, the one rule in your house you can't do? I was like, oh, I can't eat before dinner, and I can't, and one girl's like, I can't jump on the couch. Another kid's like, I can't jump off the couch. And, like, I can't do this, and I can't do that. And I'm like, right? I'm like, in their head, the biggest rule in their house is they don't. In their head, the biggest rule in their house is a don't. And so they come up to Jesus, and they're like, teacher, what is the greatest rule? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds with not a don't, but a do. Not a don't, but a do. And so many of us, like, we approach Christianity with this perspective of, oh my gosh, I'm going to come to church and they're going to tell me what not to do. See, I've never seen people's lives change because they didn't steal from someone. It's like, I'm not going to steal from you. And then, like, his life has changed. No. But Jesus says, you know, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, to love people as you love yourself, right? That's a do. Love God, to do. Love people, that's to do. It's a proactive thing. And that's where lives are changed. If Jesus just lived a life of don'ts, he wouldn't have done anything. He wouldn't have. Jesus could have lived his whole life, followed all the commandments, and not healed a single person. Really. Nice. So I want to encourage you guys tonight to not have a perspective of Christianity that involves a lot of don'ts. Are there don'ts in Christianity? There definitely is. But when you allow Jesus to change it from the inside out, those don'ts don't become rules, but it's an honor and a privilege to be able to serve the one who created you. This is what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, first, love me. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. In that scripture, in fact, he says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like it, to love people as you love yourself. And then he says this. He says, on these commandments, these two commandments, love God, love people. On this, hang the rest of the commandments Everything else hangs on this one. All of these don'ts hang on this one do. And we're so focused on, like, I can't do this and I can't do that. And really, like, we're afraid that God's going to tell us something that's going to make our life not fun and not fulfilling. Guys, I've been there where, like, I'm not going to go to church. I'd rather go do this. And, like, I feel like the fun is going to be sucked out of my life if I let Jesus in. It's the complete contrary. See, last night, instead of ministering to those people, I could have just gone home, watched YouTube, and gone to sleep. And at the end of the day, that would have meant nothing to anybody. But me taking the time to just love some people, that's better. That's walking in some purpose. Right? It's making the world a better place, I think. And John mimics this too. In actually, we won't go there, but John, like this concept of loving people, it's all over the New Testament, guys. We cannot get away from this. We can't get away with this, away from this. So we can get the lights down real quick. We won't be much longer. And listen, I'm the first one up here. I'm already up here. But if this message has convicted you in a good way, because godly conviction leads to godly change. Here's what I feel. Because I believe I'm led by the Holy Spirit. That there's people in this room that are going through life and there's something that's holding them back from feeling complete peace. That's right here, complete peace. And you know what I'm talking about. It's like 80% of the time I'm good, but 20%, there's just something, 20% in my life that's just keeping me from experiencing complete peace and complete freedom. And I hear God saying that tonight, that peace you desire comes through a freedom from people. You don't have peace, complete peace in your heart because there's something you're holding on to. Whether it's something someone said or something someone did, you're holding on to something. And that's causing you to not love that person like Christ loved us. We didn't get to it, but in 1 John, he says this, that Christ expresses his love toward us, that he came and became a man and he died on the cross for us. I know what you guys are thinking. You don't know what they said. You don't know what's been done to me. You don't even know how they treated me. It's easy for you. You're in church all the time, but you don't know what I had to live with. You don't know what they said. Friends, your perspective is in the wrong place. Can we lift our gaze from the situation or what that happened? Can we lift our gaze to what he did and what he sacrificed and what he gave? He died the most gruesome death in history, not knowing if you're going to accept him or not, but to give you the chance to be free from yourself, from any pain and suffering that you're holding on to. And Jesus says, I want to live inside of you. I want you to be so full of me that there's no more room for condemnation. There's no room for that shame. There's no room for those thoughts anymore. Jesus, I want that complete peace. If that means forgiveness, I'll do it. If that means letting go, I'll do it. If that means dying to myself and my insecurities, I'm going to do that. But I need Jesus to completely live inside of me. If that's you tonight, I want you to come up to the altar.